You start again.
Okay. We're going to start this again, tap the tape running. I will call to order the Monday, April 24th meeting of the River Grove Water District at 4:32. And it is going to be a small meeting because the only two of us in the office are Jim and myself. And Larry Magura is on the phone, and Sherry is out of town, and Grant is ill. So it will just be the three of us. Let me pull up my agenda here. Maybe. Okay, here we are. There is no public, so no public comment. Review and approval of minutes. Either one of you have anything you want to add or correct?
I would move we adopt the minutes of the last meeting as drafted.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It is unanimous. General Manager's report.
All right. One generator project is moving along very well. As you see from my report, the concrete pad is poured. Preliminary electrical requirements have all been finished. And there's no additional work scheduled until the generator is on site, and the projected ship date is still the 15th of June. The project financials remain unchanged because Turney has not submitted any invoice yet to be paid. When they do, of course, you know, by next month, that will be, you know, that will reflect that. We started our annual meter replacement program in the month of April. The annual goal for the district is 70 meters for a 20-year life cycle. The water operators have started the removal, and we're still finding water meters 35 to 40 years old.
Yeah.
That easily.
I see them on my walks, yep.
Yep. So I told the guys, the water operators, to go ahead, and I wanted 100 done. We can easily do it. We have the meters on hand. So I said, I know our goal is 70. Let's exceed that goal, and I'd like 100 done by the end of the month. So that's what they've been working on the last 2 weeks. If you look at our April production and consumption numbers, we're pretty steady, and we're very close to what we were in February, which is good because that's what we want to see, a balancing of our unaccounted for water loss. But with your permission, Chair Roth, I want to now go into new business and tie that in with my general manager's report because it relates directly to production consumption.
Okay.
All right. So, as you know, on the agenda, I have our ordinance on there, 1901. 1901, of course, was done in 2019. The board approved it. Things are changing in the water business, and our ordinance does not serve us well. One of the untapped resources that we have here is when these older homes are being torn down and the developer is coming in and building these new homes, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. Because it was an existing home, it does not trigger a land use development review. So the only way the River Grove Water District is knowing that these mega mansions are going in is by the water operators or myself driving around the district. So for the past 3 months, I've been working this project. I've been talking on the phone with Clackamas, Lake Oswego, et cetera, asking if we couldn't be added as an ad hoc for a review. Why this is important to the district is when they're upgrading their service lines, which of course they have to because all new plumbing codes now is at least 1 inch. So when they're upgrading their service line, they're going from a 3/4 inch line, which charges $44.11 every 60 days, to a 1 inch, which charges $98.41 in revenue. This is untapped resources that we need to take advantage of. Now, I know that 1901 says that if it's a development, they're going to upgrade the main in front of the development. I don't think it would be realistic to have all of these developers that are just quote unquote doing rebuilds do that. However, we need to take advantage of them doing partial upgrade in front of whatever home they're building and the district partner with them to do the other part of the main. So if you looked at your budget, and I don't want to jump ahead for that, but Marlin Court is a perfect example, and 5525 Childs Road is a perfect example. Renaissance Home built that duplex on the corner of Childs Road, and it requires one-inch services on both of them. They thought they were just going to be able to piggyback off the existing three-quarter inch. No, 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 no. They have to upgrade their water service to 1 inch. So what we're going to call this for our district is we are going to require them to do a service upgrade, which means they will get SDC credit and they won't come into the district paying the full $13,000 and some change, but they will pay for a service upgrade, which nets the district, as it should, system development charges an approximate of $8,500. If you drive around the district right now and see how many new homes are being built or rebuilds, I call them rebuilds to keep everybody on the same line. It's quite extensive. Like right now, I know of 10. So we did require that at 4200 Oldgate. And it was actually perfect because when 4200 Oldgate came in, the developer sent me the plans and we reviewed them and everything. And I told him, you're going to have to upgrade. You know, I was told all these stories, and I'm not sure how much validity I put behind them anymore. We don't want people touching our AC. Well, I've spoken to several engineers. I've talked to several water districts, and we should be requiring them to upgrade the three-quarter inch line from the main to that home with a 1 inch. We made them do that at 4200 Oldgate. We got the $8,555 from the developer. And it went beautifully. So now, and their service got upgraded from a 3/4 inch to 1 inch, which so their month 60-day revenue now goes from 44 to 98. But the key to that one was because these don't generate a land use. I was sitting at the office and received a call from Fire Parker Joe, and it's a business that goes around and installs fire suppression systems. So 4200, the new owners decided they wanted to have a fire suppression system on their property. So we had to go down there, flow the meter, do a flow test. You know, it met the requirements, but we were left out of that loop. It went through Clackamas, and it, I guess it actually went through the city too, because there's a shared area of control down there. So then I used that as my platform to get very serious and reaching out to Lake Oswego about you've got to do something to let us in on the development review. I said, we're the water purveyor and you all are committing us to something that we haven't even had an opportunity to review. And the bottom line is, if these new homes come in, that's great, we want them, but they should have to pay for the demand that they are putting on our system. Mm-hmm. And that's why we call it service upgrade. So in order to do that, the 1901 has to be, our ordinance has to be updated. I've got it now 98% done. I've also come up with a worksheet that Portland Water Bureau was so wonderful, gave us for a sizing that we're going to require developers to actually fill this out when they submit our plans to us, so we can confirm what the meter sizing needs to be for these rebuilds. And I wanted to say to the board that there's nothing worse, and this is where I'm tying it in, and thank you for letting me go out of order. I do not believe on our production and consumption that we have big leaks in our AC. I don't believe it. What I believe is happening what these developers were doing was you upgrading the systems to 1.5 inch, et cetera, and using an adapter that came off the customer service line to hook into our little 3/4 inch meter. And you know the 3/4 inch meter, they have a limit on what they can register.
Right.
And when the demand is greater, that meter no longer registers. It can't register the full use. And that's what I think. I think we have free water going to these bigger sized homes that weren't required to be upgraded. And that's why we call it a service upgrade.
So, a couple of questions.
Yep.
First, so before I forget this, can we go and do inspections or backtrack now and find where those are?
I don't believe we can.
Okay, that's fine. Second question, do you need a motion for us to initiate an ordinance amendment so that
yes.
you can, okay.
Well, it's not an amendment, it would be we're doing a whole new rewrite.
Okay, well, to initiate a new ordinance
yes,
to address,
sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would move that we initiate the process to adopt a new ordinance that would change Ordinance 1901 as it relates to development to
2301
to whatever to,
right.
to change the term development to service upgrade, and to authorize the staff to initiate the process, including scheduling a public hearing and doing the notice and all the requirements. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Larry, did you second it?
I did.
I thought so.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So,
yes, I talked about this a little bit the other day, so I'm familiar with.
Good. Okay.
All right. So it is unanimous,
and it will probably bring in, and it's not about sticking the people that are doing the system upgrades, but
paying
again,
their fair share,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it will probably bring $80,000 to $100,000 in revenue.
I mean, look at this monstrosity down on the corner of Childs and.
Yeah.
Right. And we are partnering. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That it was a duplex, and that's
well on the other side, across the street from it. The teardown now. The house is five.
Oh, I need to go. I've been kind of in here the last week.
It is huge.
Okay. Well, then I need to get that. And so I tell the guys when a water operator leaves for the day and they're out, doing their job, I tell them there's always, rule of thumb, one thing. When you're out there, you look for water. That's your job. Look for water. Now I told him, I said, when you're out there, you look for two things. You look for water and you look for buildings going up.
So when I was a county planner, because you couldn't just see stuff from the street, you know how I found it? I looked for new mailboxes. I'd be driving along some back county road and, there's a new mailbox there. And sure enough, there's somebody back there that hadn't got their permit yet. And so,
Well, Nancy Fly, I don't know if you know her from Lake Oswego. She's been there a long, long time, and she started as a water operator. She's up in engineering. She listened to my cry for help. So she actually forwarded. She had me put everything in an email, and I did. She called me this morning and said, Janine, there's the buzz in the hallway. They're talking. Even Harriet got into the discussion because they were going to sweep it under the rug. Because when I did my email, I talked about 4200 with the fire suppression.
Yeah.
And so one of the planners was up there. Oh, she's just complaining about fire suppression. And he's like, she's not. He said, look at the email in the entirety. So this afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I got from a county planner from Lake Oswego that they will add us onto an ad hoc.
Oh, okay. I don't have to make my next motion.
No, that they're going to add us onto an ad hoc, but we need that program they use called, do you know it, Commissioner McGurr? It's called ACES. So we'll have to get that.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's
okay.
I was going to make a motion that because the county was dragging their feet, that the water districts all get together and send a joint letter to the county asking.
Well, now that's Clackamas, and they are. This is Lake Oswego. Lake Oswego.
Oh, Clackamas County still a problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
But let me do my letter that since my email got results at Lake Oswego. Let me do that same to Clackamas, and I'll brief you in 30 days.
Okay.
So what I would like to do, since you all passed that motion, then I would like to then have this ready for review with citing the paper and everything at next month's meeting.
Okay.
Because, then it needs another 30 days.
Sure.
It's a 60-day process.
Well, you have to have a draft out there for people to be able to look
absolutely.
Up and testify.
Yep.
So, yep.
So I will have this ready at the next meeting.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Good work.
Good.
All right.
Good
work.
So
yes,
now
indeed.
Let me go on to the rest of the board report. So, again, we'll see how this impacts our production consumption. We got notified by the state for our PFAS testing. It's going to be on the 2nd of May, and they only want to test well once, since all of our well sites are drilled in the basalt aquifer, so they're only going to test well one. We didn't have any emergency call-outs. We did 19 site visits, and I thought that I would just add some fun facts and finance for you. We have now 48% of our customers are on automatic bank draft. We have 18% on credit card, and we have only 34% left that want to do manual checks. So I just thought that was some fun finance facts for you all. But it also kind of tells you, too, the job level that encompassing a full-time finance specialist here.
Right.
Because these electronics are much easier taking. Now, there are more work when they have chargebacks and the payments don't go through, but the initial processing makes it a breeze. And then for employee training, we all did the fish line training and staying current on our cybersecurity. And then we did the safety focus distracted driver training for the month of April. We did our consumer confidence report. What I want to note about this is we're 2 months early, but what is unusual now about our consumer confidence report, since PFAS is being, you know, it's being talked about in the news, newspapers, etc. We're actually getting calls up here to the district office. So I contacted Safe Drinking Water up in Oregon, and I asked them, I said, yeah, I hear, you know, DEQ is going to be down the 2nd of May. I said, have you had any water districts inquiring about adding PFAS to our consumer confidence report? Because I can see it. The lobbyists, I can see this.
Yeah.
I would say in 2 to 3 years, it's going to be mandatory. It's going to be a regulated contaminant that we have to report. And Mark was like, you know, Janine, you're the first person who's called me on this. He goes, no, I haven't had any water agencies, districts call me and ask if it needs to be on the CCR. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and add it on ours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, because you know as well as I do, it's going to be coming down the pike that this is going to be a regulated contaminant. And he said, that's outstanding. He said, you're the first water district that's called me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and added PFAS under our non-regulated. And since billing went out the 10th of April, we've actually gotten 6 calls on the PFAS.
Huh.
And then in like 3 years or 2 years, when EPA, you know, lobbies and they get it approved, it's just an easy little thing to move it up now into the regulated contaminant section. So
now, does the fact that our water originates so far from here in an area where there really shouldn't be any PFAS?
It leaches, Chris. So we very, I'm going to, and I told you at the last board meeting, they lowered the standards. So I'm going to be very, very interested to see, to be honest, if we come back with any detectables. So we'll know, they'll test May 2nd and we'll know in about 4 weeks after that.
Okay.
But no, we're not safe. That's what I thought too.
Okay.
Because of the leaching. And we don't, and we want to knock on wood that we don't, we're not. We have clean below the standard.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on to the finances. They're pretty basic. There's nothing really to brief on the finances other than the other $100,000 that had to go into the capital improvement was transferred. So we've met all of our requirements now to fund our LGIP account for the year. I just went ahead and did it a little bit early while we had some extra money. And that's it for the finances, unless you had any questions. I did make a copy, and I'll be glad to share that with the board, with the email that I sent to Nancy Fly, and then the response now that we finally got from a Brian Don.
Mm-hmm.
He's the building official up at Lake Oswego, that they're going to talk about it. Oh, and it's, am I pronouncing it right? Acela? A-C-C-E-L-A?
Acela, yeah.
Okay, because that's what we need, because nothing is done manual anymore. So he said, you know, we'd have to be on Acela on the permitting in order to allow us to review it. And if we do that, they have no problem. So I'll have to call a Pacific office, because I've never heard of Acela. I did send an email to Kyle. Is this something
I was going to say, or talk to Kyle first.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard, but he's really busy.
Yeah. it's that time of year, right, Larry?
And so again, don't want to bore you. I did the basics of meter sizing, because remember, when those larger size lines go in there, it's flowing so much that I believe our 3/4-inch meters can't keep up, and especially the older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
makes perfect sense.
All right. So that is the general manager's report as well as new business. Thank you for letting me combine them.
You bet. Unfinished business. We have board relations, and that comes under the handbook being redone. And we have that now. You've seen the draft copy from our attorney. And unless someone has huge problems with it, or problems, period, I think we ought to go ahead and approve it tonight.
I will just say that we've had this, for several days now, and I've really looked this over. I really appreciate what Laura at Cable Houston did. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will move that we adopt the board handbook with the edits from Cable Houston.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second. I have a discussion point.
Okay, what would that be?
Reading through her comments in here, she said perhaps we need two handbooks, one for employees and one for board. I thought that was a pretty good suggestion. What do you guys think?
I think that's not a bad idea for us to take up as the next project, because I think that's pretty consistent with what others do. I would suggest to you, we want to adopt this for a lot of reasons, and then we can take that as a future project and get that into Janine's work plan. She's got a lot going on, and so we'll figure out where that can fit in. But I think that's a great suggestion, Larry.
And we do have an employee handbook, and if you will remember, Peter Hicks from Jordan Ramis redid our employee handbook back in 2020, so we can take the areas that Laura thinks that may need to be revised, because he did a whole revision on it. Our handbook was totally revised, and send it to her to see what she would recommend be added or deleted.
Yeah, I'd like, would you please do that? And what I had a second comment is, looking at her comments, the rest, when I printed it out, I have hard copy with me. Her comments block out part of the new text in several places. That's a little disappointing that that's the case, but so there's some of the new language that we're about to approve. I can't see it, but I think I have a level of trust with you folks that I'm willing to go along with this.
Yeah, it didn't block out on mine, so I'll...
Yeah, mine's okay, too, so okay.
Yeah. I can resend you another version, Commissioner McGurra, and see if that's better for you.
Yeah, and Larry, I opened mine up in Word, actually, too, as if and you can really see a lot more that way, too.
Okay. Yeah, Janine, please send it to me again.
Okay.
I'm not voting, and I will... I'll be home tonight, and I can take a look at this on my computer in Word tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's how I had to open it up, was Word as well.
Yeah, I opened it up in Word.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, so then that motion carried?
Yep, motion carried.
Okay. And then...
let me scroll back here. The legal questions from the board matter, that will be in executive session next month. So that gives everybody time to look it over and decide what questions you want to ask.
Those were the response to the questions. So we've already asked the questions.
Right. And so what I think Chair Roth means is that if you guys looked at those responses, Laura at the top put attorney-client privilege.
Yep.
I did not do that. So when I sent out your board packages and I was going back through mine to make sure everything copied right and trying to put everything in a portrait style for you all, including the finances, I panicked and thought I messed up. So I immediately sent her an email and said, Laura, did I mess up? Was this supposed to be an executive? And she said, no. She came back and said it would be up to Chair Roth's discretion. If we wanted to discuss them in a public meeting, we could, or if Chair Roth wanted to table it and have it in an executive session, because she said an executive session would probably promote freer conversation amongst the board members, and it is privileged communication then in that way, because it is with your attorney.
Right.
And what that also means, being marked on the document, we should not be handing it out to other people. Right. All commissioners, and I won't say anything more. But that should, you know, just because we have it on our email, it's marked attorney-client privilege, so it would be protected under that, even if somebody asks for public information request. Right.
And so thank goodness, I send your stuff out, and I wait a day before I update our website.
Yeah.
So I did not include that on our website.
Yeah. Okay,
but
good.
Commissioners have that, and so the commissioners need to recognize that they should not be sharing that with other people.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, because now it will be... As you've now declared, it's going to be executive session. It's executive session correspondence. Okay. All right.
Okay. New business. Water service ordinance.
And I covered that, unless y'all have any more questions on it.
Nope. That makes perfect sense.
I have nothing for the chair report.
Okay.
No great secrets, no great revelations. So... it is now 4:58, and we will adjourn.
And re-adjourn at 5:30?
Yeah, when we will restart the budget hearing at 5:30.
Okay. Mm-hmm.